All right, welcome to the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and here we are with a brand new study. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in again, brothers and sisters, and I thank you and admire you for studying God's Word and disciplining yourself to do that. I know that the enemy is trying to do everything he can to keep you away from God's Word and away from studying anything, any kind of doctrine in God's Word. The devil doesn't want you to know the truth about anything, especially some subjects. And the subject that we're getting in today, this truth that we're getting in today, is not a study that I was particularly impressed with teaching. And it's just because I don't like this. I don't like the subject. And the more I find out about it, the less I care to know anything about it. And that is, we're going into the study of S again. And unless I've put something in the middle of some of these letters, like you know I do already, as I study, I just insert them into the ABCs of Christian Growth, and some you may have missed, and some maybe not. But this is study number 19B. It is the third study in the letter S, and it is for sin. The subject of sin and what God's Word talks about and what sin is and so on and so forth. It's a pretty lengthy study. I just have finished it up and went through quite a bit of topics in this study about what the Bible says about sin, and that's what we want to know, is what the Bible says, what God's Word says, not what people define it as and define things as and what they think it is, but what does God's Word say about these things? What does it say? Well, here's our study of sin. And like I said, I'm not particularly impressed with teaching this, even though I'm going to teach it. And it's going to be probably, I'm not sure, but a lengthy study, not real long, but we'll get through it. And we're going to talk about what the Bible says about sin. We're going to define sin. We're going to talk about sins. We're going to lay it out there and what the Scriptures say. Now, to begin with, in this study of ABCs of Christian Growth, we're going to study this topic of sin, like I said. And the study of sin is what is known as hamartiology. These are some words that you probably wouldn't mind learning. These are probably about 50, 60 years ago, this was common knowledge among Christians and was taught in Sunday school. Hamartiology, soteriology, Christology, theology, and all these ologies. And it's just simply talking about different doctrines of what the Word of God teaches as truth. And sin is what is referred to as hamartiology. Okay, and you don't necessarily have to learn it and go be no theological expert and blabbity blabbity blab over these big words. We don't use big words here, and the reason I'm telling you about this is just because that's what it is. And if you hear it, then you'll know. Okay, but most people know what you're talking about whenever we're talking about the word sin, when it's voiced. When somebody says the word sin, most people have already defined it subconsciously, and it just pops right up. They don't have to think about it, you know. I've never in my life heard of anyone that said sin. What is that? Have you? I ain't never heard anybody say that. I ain't never heard people say that. I have heard people say that they're not going to say they are a sinner before. I've heard them say that I'm not a sinner, but not what is it. I think everybody knows what sin is, even if they don't have a specific definition. They know what sin means subconsciously. And isn't that strange? Now, what does the Bible say about sin? When it comes to really breaking sin down and defining it, most cannot. Most will say something like, it's breaking God's laws, or it's when you do something wrong, and probably be right on both of those answers. But is that all sin is? And that's enough, of course. Breaking God's laws and doing something against God is enough. And when you do something wrong is enough. But is that all sin is? Is sin important? And should a person think of sin as being important? And if so, why? Is sin a thing that used to be only? Or is it a concern of today? I mean, these are legitimate questions about sin, and most people don't break sin down and look at it in depth in the Scriptures just to let God the Holy Ghost teach them the ins and outs about sin and what it is. Now, in this study, we're going to go through the Scriptures and get an understanding, with the Lord's help, of course, and of what sin is. And what God says and thinks of it. And what we should think and believe about it. Now, to begin with, let's just go over some numbers concerning sin in the Scriptures. And what the Holy Scriptures think about the word sin itself. To begin with, the Holy Ghost must think of the subject of sin as something he wants us to know about. With sin being mentioned 447 times in the Scriptures, more or less. I counted them. It could be more, a few more or less if I missed something, but I counted 447 times in the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, that it was mentioned. In the Old Testament, it's written 335 times, and in the New Testament, 112 times. That's quite a bit, isn't it? I mean, that's almost three times in the Old Testament for every one time in the New Testament. That is like a little over four times in every book of the New Testament it's mentioned. Sin is mentioned on an average of four times in every book of the New Testament. On average, just averaging it out. You know, that's like a, it's pretty significant, wouldn't you say? The Lord Jesus Christ spoke the word a little over 15 times himself, spoke it with his own mouth. And that was in a period of 3.5 years. Salvation is only mentioned 164 times in the Old Testament and New Testament. Sin's mentioned more than salvation. As a matter of fact, it's mentioned over twice as many times as salvation in the Bible. This being said, sin is something we should know what the mind of the Lord is and take heed of it, wouldn't you imagine? Now, in this introduction, all I'm going to do is just what it sounds, just what it says. I'm going to introduce this study of sin to you today, and we're going to talk about a few other things. But as far as getting into the study, I think our first, we're going to talk about what is sin. We're going to talk about scriptural words that are related to sin that the Bible uses when it's talking about sin. We're going to talk about worldly substitutes for referencing sin, what the world uses to reference sin. And, of course, we know that gets into a lot of fables and endless things that the world likes covering up this matter of sin and not making it so ugly. We're going to talk about man's state in relation of sin. We're going to talk about the heart of man as sin has made him. We're going to talk about also man's parts and sin. What do you mean, man's parts? Well, his arms and his legs and just what parts of man are related to sin. You would think it would only be like maybe his brain or his heart or something like that, but does the Bible say that? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about sins which proceed out of the heart of man and defile him, and we're going to name them and only name them by what the Scriptures say. We're not going to make anything up. We're not going to leave anything out. We're going to just name what the Bible says. And also, that's not all. We're going to talk about the sins of those who will not retain God in their knowledge and are turned over to a reprobate mind. The Bible talks about that? Yes, it does. We're going to talk about the sins of the unrighteous who will not inherit the kingdom of God. You say there's sins for specifically that? That's what the Bible says. We're going to see what it says. Sins which the Christian is commanded to cast off. You mean God commands things concerning sin? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Sins the Christian is commanded to not keep company with. Now, that's one interesting thing when it comes to sin in this world, and something that the world is definitely fighting against nowadays is this thing of segregation let's all come together. Well, you know, everything's relative, and they're trying to make sin relative. There's no such thing as sin. It's just something that somebody needs to correct or do a little better on, and, you know, all that jazz. But sins which the Christian is commanded to cast off, and also sins the Christian, is commanded to not keep company with. That's not all. We're going to talk about sins Christians commit that they must repent of. You mean the Bible single-handedly, individually, specifically names sins that God commands you to repent of? We're going to see that. And it's something that you need to know. Do you know the things that we're talking about? I'm just naming some of the topics that we're going to talk about in this study in introduction. Sins which are the works of the flesh. That flesh is something else when it comes to this matter of sin. Sins that are the walk of the unsaved, the Bible talks about. Did you know sin was had such a variety of topics in the Scriptures? It does, doesn't it? Sins which Christians must put away, the Bible says. Sins that are not to be once named among Christians. How about that? Sins of those that have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You mean there's sins that can keep you from getting an inheritance? It can take your inheritance away? We're going to see. Whatever the Scriptures say is what it is, isn't it? That's what we believe, is what saith the Lord. Sins that will bring the wrath of God. Now, there's a lot of people that talk about the unpardonable sin and things like that, that God will never forgive and such as all that. We're going to get into some things like that, and this particular topic will cover some of that. But specifically, if you knew something that, and I didn't say makes God mad or makes God angry, it says it brings God's wrath. Wrath. Sins that will bring God's wrath, bring the wrath of God. We're going to talk about them. Another topic, that's not all. Sins which the Christian must put off. Put off. Sins for which the law was given. Sins from which the Christian must turn away. Well, the Lord nails the Christian down about putting off and put away and keep company from and things like that that we've mentioned so far. Sins Christians are saved from. Sins that Christians are saved from. I bet you could name some and write them down, couldn't you? I can, if you're an honest person. Sins which Christians must lay aside. Lay aside, put away, turn away from. We're seeing an outline of our study of sin right now. Sins of the flesh in which Christians used to live. The things that you used to live in. If you're saved, there's supposed to be some things that, when it comes to sin, that you used to have part of you. Used to. Some truth in that, isn't there? Sins which are condemned to the lake of fire. You say, what? Mm-hmm. Yep. Sins that are barred from the tree of life. Did you know that? That there's some sins that keep people from being able to partake of the tree of life? Are you going to partake of the tree of life, or do you have to? Do you know that answer? The scripture tells us. You, as a saved person in the dispensation of the gospel of grace, the gospel of the grace of God, do you have to partake of the tree of life, or can you? And if you do, why? And if you don't, why? But sins that are barred from the tree of life, we're going to talk about that. And now, another topic, that's not all. We're going to talk about the sources of sin. The kinds of sin. We're going to talk about consequences of sin among the unsaved. What does it cost you? And not saved people, but unsaved people. What does it cost you? What's the consequences of sin to the unsaved, among the unsaved? And that's not all. God's attitude towards sin. Had you want to know that for a long time? I mean, just nail it down, what God thinks of sin and why? Well, the scriptures tell us, and we're going to look at that. Christ's relationship concerning sin. The Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship concerning sin. We need to know these things. Another one is saved peoples. In other words, the regenerates, the saved people, us, the ones that have been born again, that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him. Saved people, the regenerates' relationship to sin. What is our relationship to sin? What does the Bible speak and tell us that our relationship to sin is? Do we have a relationship with sin anymore? Or has sin become more critical since we've been born again and adopted into God's family? What's the truth? We're going to talk about sin, scriptural truths that help against sin. Does the Bible teach us things that help against sin? And if it does, who's it talking to? We're going to talk about the unpardonable sin. Interesting. Do you know what the unpardonable sin is? The scriptures tell us. People run around and are scared to death of this unpardonable sin. Should a Christian be have fear of sinning a sin that could not be forgiven and put you in the lake of fire? We'll see about that. What the sinner has or does not have when it comes to sin. These are a lot of topics, aren't they? I told you it's going to be a lengthy study, but we're just going to see what the scriptures say concerning these topics. There's a lot of different things that sin has topics about, doesn't it? What about, we're going to see about scriptural truths concerning the unbeliever when it comes to sin. We're going to talk about God's attempt to keep all unbelievers out of hell when it comes to sin. Isn't he a merciful and gracious God? He sure is. So, a lot of topics that we're going to talk about. And like I said, this is just an introduction to our study of sin. And perhaps there's something that you've already heard that interests you concerning this. Sin is not an interest to me. I can't wait to not be a sinner anymore. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. Do you? And I'm not saying that arrogantly. Matter of fact, the first time that ever come to my mind was when I was just sitting there talking to the Lord, and I was having some problems that I was talking over with Him, and just out of the blue from my heart, I just uttered that, and I didn't even catch myself. My heart just said it, and I wasn't sorry for it. I'm glad, and I said, Lord, I don't want to be a sinner anymore. And I'm glad I said it, and I'm glad I felt that way. Because the more you mature in the Word of God, and the more you grow in the things of Christ, the more you're going to find out how wretched you are. And I'm not saying that trying to discourage you. I'm saying that because it's the truth. And if you know anything about the Word of God already, then you know that there's no good thing in us, in the flesh. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. There's a big battle going on in us, and sin's got a lot to do with it. And we're going to talk about that, nail it down, and get us a piece about this matter of sin so that when we hear sin and we talk about sin, we'll talk about it properly and we'll hear about it. But be encouraged, brothers and sisters, because one day there'll be no more sin. The Lord said that He has defeated it, that it's been defeated. His death, burial, and resurrection took care of these things, and it's taken care for the Christian and for the people that have believed on Christ. And the Lord has provided graciously over this matter of sin already, and provided throughout eternity, and has a plan that's being executed as we speak concerning this matter of sin. But let's study this and see what our Bibles say about it, so we know what we're talking about. Amen. All right, now before I finish this, I want to go through one more part, and that is definitions of sin, old definitions and new definitions of sin. And what I mean by that is I took it from two different dictionaries. I've got a Webster's 1828 dictionary that really names a lot of things that you cannot find in these new improved dictionaries. They've taken a lot of things out and things that match society and society's way of thinking that you wouldn't find that you could find in the 1828. Now, sin, what's the definition of it? Well, in the 1828 dictionary, listen to this. Sin, the voluntary departure of a moral agent from a known rule or rectitude or duty prescribed by God. Any voluntary transgression of the divine law or violation of a divine command. A wicked act. Iniquity. Sin is either a positive act in which a known divine law is violated, or it is the voluntary neglect to obey a positive divine command, or a rule of duty clearly implied in such command. Sin comprehends not action only, but neglect of known duty. All evil thoughts, purposes, words, and deeds, whatever is contrary to God's laws and commands. And of course, we find that there are several books in the scriptures that talk specifically about sin. One of them is 1 John chapter 3. Now, I have these written several times down through the scriptures, and we're going to read these scriptures, but as far as reading chapters and things like that, we'll read the chapters once, but when they come up again, we won't read them again, the entire chapter, just for the sake of time as far as our recordings go. But I always leave you, well, when I remember, that is, I always, when the recording's fixing to end, I always give you the scriptures for that recording that we had been over. And you'll hear these chapters that are specific concerning sin that we have read over it at least once. But you'll have the scriptures to go over yourself, and you should. One of them is 1 John chapter 3. Another one is Matthew chapter 15. Another one is James chapter 4. And another one is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, these are four specific chapters that we're going to mention several times throughout our study. And that comes going along with this definition of sin, you can see that these chapters in these four books define sin quite a bit. 1 John chapter 3 and Matthew 15 and James 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, sinners neither enjoy the pleasures nor the peace of piety. I got that messed up when I wrote it down, I think. I don't think that made any sense. Sinner neither enjoy the pleasures of nor the peace of piety. Among divines, sin is original or actual. Actual sin, now listen to this. Actual sin, above defined, that we just got through talking about, is the act of a moral agent in violating a known rule of duty. Original sin, as generally understood, is native depravity of heart to the divine will. In other words, your being, it's built into you, it's the Adamic nature. Original sin, that corruption of nature and deterioration of the moral character of man, which is supposed to be the effect of Adam's apostasy, which it is. In other words, actual sin is what you commit, violating God's rules. Original sin is something that is part of you. It's what you are. As far as your character and what makes you deteriorate morally. Man's not getting better, folks. Man gets worse. And if it wasn't for the intervention of the Holy Ghost and for salvation and for Jesus Christ's blood and for God's intervention in our lives individually as we sit here, you'd be a lot worse than what you are, because man is deteriorating. He's not getting better. Sorry, Darwin. And sorry, all you tree huggers and all you people that think you came from a monkey or some kind of gobbledygook like that. I ain't never thought I came from no monkey, and I ain't never going to. And even if I did, I wouldn't think it. But we didn't come from no stinking monkeys, okay? You came from what the Bible said you came from. And which manifests itself moral agents by positive act of disobedience to the divine will, or by the voluntary neglect to comply with the express commands of God, which require that we should love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and our neighbors as ourselves. This native depravity or alienation of affections from God and His law is supposed to be what the apostle calls the carnal mind or mindedness, which is enmity against God. and is therefore denominated sin or sinfulness. Just a brief, that's in the 1828 dictionary. Here's another one. A sin offering, an offering made to atone for sin. These are definitions of sin in the old dictionary. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's one of the chapters we mentioned. A man enormously wicked. Of course, that's not used today. Sin differs from crime, not in nature, but in application. That which is a crime against society is sin against God. You see? Making differences already. Now, today, 2023 dictionary, I want you to notice the difference in the breakdown or the definition or what society in from a dictionary calls sin. This is from a dictionary I use called Word Web. It's just a 2023 dictionary that I use. And the first definition of sin is estrangement from God. Is that what sin is? It's being separated from God? Or is that an effect? Estrangement from God. There are teachings and doctrines in the world today that say that sin is just being separated from God. Is that what the scriptures teach? Another one, an act that is regarded by theologians as a transgression of God's will. Well, you mean only theologians are supposed to believe that? Three, ratio of the length of the side opposite given an angle to the length, okay, a mathematical sin. I never knew that. Did you? And some of those words I can't pronounce, and I'm not going to embarrass myself, but I didn't know sin had to do with mathematics, but it does. All right, the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Another definition of today, violent and excited activity. Do what? Violent and excited activity? What's that got to do with God? Like sin and sinning. Another one, commit a sin. Violate a law of God or a moral law. All right. Commit a faux pas or a fault or make a serious mistake. Now we're getting into today's society of defining sin. I committed a faux pas or a fault or I made a serious mistake. Is that the way the Bible describes sin, as a serious mistake or a fault or a faux pas? I hope I'm saying that right. I looked it up and tried to pronounce it. I hope I'm saying that right. Oops. I made a faux pas. Sin. In Canada, the ninth digit used to identify an individual. Now that's interesting. Usually for taxation purposes, of course. Like a social security number or an insurance number. Isn't that interesting that sin in Canada is the ninth digit number using to identify an individual? How many numbers are in your social security number? Sin. God of the moon. Counterpart of Akdian sin, Sumerian Nana, Norse mythology, wife of Balder. Sin has names. It means to listen to these. Blunder. Boob. Drop the ball. Oops, I dropped the ball. You goof. Hell. Sinfulness. Sinning. Transgress. Trespass. Wickedness. You see how that thing is just kind of softened right up? You know, one thing is for sure, the world's definition of sin has changed, hadn't it? I made a boo-boo. Is that what God says sin is? A boo-boo? Seems society's toned sin down a bit since 1828, hadn't it? In 1828, you were dealing with violating divine law and command, wicked acts and voluntary neglects, evil thoughts, purposes, words, and desires, native depravity, and Adam's apostasy, versus today, which is an act regarded by theologians as transgression, a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, commit a sin, I committed a faux pas, or fault, make a serious mistake or estrangement from God. You see the difference? Somebody has toned this matter of sin down. This one little old word, sin. Even the preachers in some of your, a lot of your churches in this Laodicean age that we're living in right now. This is 2023, December, today, December, I don't want to embarrass myself. December the 2nd, 2023. And I don't hear the word sin or see the word sin written in society, do you? I don't hear it spoken ever again, do you? And I would venture to say the majority of churches that you go into, unless they still honor God's word, don't mention sin anymore. But we're going to find out what this matter of sin is and what sin is and what the scriptures say about it. Okay? And we're going to go over it. We went over today in this introduction talking about the different amount of times that the scriptures have been mentioned, sin has been mentioned in the scriptures, and whether Jesus said it with his own mouth. You figure Jesus only used a certain amount of words during his 3.5 years of being on this earth. And one of them was sin. And we're going to find out what he said about it. We went over the definitions of sin and their change from the 1800s and the definitions of society about sin versus today. And it's a big difference. It's been softened up and just turned into mush, like you, something that's just, whoops, I made a boo-boo. Is that what sin is? Do you go to hell for making a boo-boo? Another word that you don't hear much in society or see written, unless, of course, it's using for vulgar and cursing and things like that. Okay? So there we go. And the beginning of our study of the topic of sin. This is, like we said, the third study in the letter S, study number 19B. And when we get into our next recording, we're going to dive right in and start getting some of the meat of this matter, and we're going to talk about, we'll begin with the first mention of sin in Scripture. The first mention of sin in Scripture, and we'll talk about it then. So we're going to go ahead and stop our introduction on this, and I'll repeat the scriptures, and I let me just request something from you before we get into this next recording and you listen to it. How about read these chapters in those four books that I mentioned earlier, because that the scriptures for our introduction are this. 1 John chapter 3, read that, and when you read it, just have in your mind, on the back burner, sin. And try to try to extract what truths the scriptures are teaching in that chapter concerning sin. And then Matthew chapter 15, of course we know the Lord speaking in there, James chapter 4, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 John chapter 3, Matthew chapter 15, James chapter 4, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, we will read these on our recording, like I said, but it's going to be mentioned throughout the study because these are pretty prominent chapters when it comes to the study of sin. Okay? So there we go. God bless you for studying God's words, brothers and sisters. I can't overemphasize how important it is for you to be in God's Word somewhere, somehow, actively studying, reading, and studying God's Word. That's what keeps us. That's what cleans us. That's what God's Word lives. It's alive. It liveth and abideth forever. So let's be in it and let's honor the Lord. And you have by disciplining yourself to study God's Word. God bless you for that. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to wind it up. And there we go. And we're off in our study of sin. When we come back together, we'll begin with the first mention of sin in the Scriptures. Do you know the very first time that sin was brought up in the Scriptures? When's the first time that sin is mentioned in the Holy Bible, in God's Word? Who was it that mentioned it? We're going to find that out, okay? The Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. God bless you for studying God's Word. I love you with Christ's love. Bye-bye.